there is a revelation.
I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality,
something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that apostle, because
this message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
The challenge with certain teachings that is born of the Spirit is your grip will be revealed not just by your knowledge but by the communication of spiritual essence. So there is the knowledge part and then there is the communication of the spiritual essence. The topic we are considering is more of a spiritual essence than a teaching. It's one of the things that, as we have studied before, greater aspect of our Christian work as believers is resting upon how much we have actually possessed the essence. Of course, it starts with knowledge. The life that Jesus handed over to us is not a life to enjoy. You know, that is the one of the fundamental things. What did I say? So the life, this is a strange thing to say, the life that Jesus gave to us is not a life to enjoy. The challenge with modern day Christianity is that we have removed that part technically because of a lot of things that the Christian faith promises us. But if you go well through the scripture, you will find several things that is mind-blowing, especially through the ministry of Paul, as we'll get to see. For example, Paul said that, I think that if somebody died for us like this, that it is common sense that whoever is now alive, are you following me now? Whoever is now alive should not leave what? Unto himself. So we are getting that it means that when you got born again, they did not explain to you well what happened. When you got born again, you are saying, Jesus, I don't want to live again. I want you to live. If we analyze what it means, if we indeed come to the place where our life, I want to show you two things I mean here now is this. There is the crucified life and there is the crucified living. There is a crucified life and there is the crucified living. And the first point I'm trying to make here is that many times when we talk about the crucified life, we emphasize the crucified. What we actually mean many times when we say the crucified life is crucified living. Are you getting the point? Now, but it is also a fact worthy of note that the crucified living is resting upon what? You are with me. The life that Jesus gave to you, the one he gave to you, you know when you got born again? How did you get born again? How were you led to Christ, Mr. Green? He said, I give my life to Jesus. Am I correct? That's not so bad. But the real thing that happened is that Jesus gave his life, what? To you. It's not bad for you to give your life to Christ as for something that is no more useful. But, yes, it's a good place to smile and thank God. We saw one video one time in our brother's group on WhatsApp. So I think I was the one that posted it. I've forgotten where I stumbled upon it. That thing looks as if it was happening in Abia State. So the guy said that he knows that it's his uncle that is using his star and destiny to do blood money charm, and that he has used his star. That the problem now is that he's going to kill the man, because he wants the man. If you are using my star to make money, give me 10% now or 20 and take the rest. That his problem with the man is that he's using his star to make money and he's holding all the money. Now his next statement is the reason why I went there. He said that him that is using it is not useful to him, that it has not produced anything for him. So it means that his life is useless in the context, from divine point of view. The life you had before you got born again is what? You are correct. So when you say, I give my life to Christ, I wonder what you gave anyway. Yeah, it is your burden you gave to God. Had it been Jesus is not strong enough, the weight of the burden of the careless life and the kind of life you had would have weighed him down. But he calculated it amongst the things that he paid for. So there is an allotment to cater for all those things that happen. If you are with me so far, say amen. More important than that is that when you got born again, first thing, you received a life. And that life, you getting what I'm saying, was crucified. Follow me now. Jesus made a statement and said, I am the resurrection and life. But you notice something, that nobody was able to partake of that life. In fact, the potentials of that life was kept, in a sense, dormant until he went to the cross. Am I correct? It is at the cross that the potentials and the work and the purpose of that life was released. So from the point of resurrection, there is capacity for dispensing, to make sure that there is nobody that is cut off from the possibility of receiving from the benefit of resurrection. We had an ascension. Shoyombo. So it is in ascension we took the possibilities and the victories that was gotten at resurrection and gathered it up in a realm that have the ability to superimpose every other realm. According to the scripture, there are several things that are possible in God, and there are several things that are promises captured within the eternal purposes of God that man has been alienated or cut off from. The revelation of which has not yet even come, because Jesus has not died, resurrected, and ascended. In fact, this is the basis of the teaching and the gospel that Paul took to the Gentiles, according to the book of Ephesians. He said that these things I'm telling you now, that even though it was in God before the foundation of the world, that we notice that in the dispensation of the fullness, God chose his holy prophets and apostles in this last time to begin to reveal it. Now, what made the prophets and apostles of this time special? It is not them. In fact, I dare to say that it is not even the message that is so special. It is what Jesus did. Are you getting the point? It is because of what he did that we can preach the message that we are preaching. That means that even if we found a way of knowing that message before the time Jesus did what he did, we will preach a message without a reality. Because the reality that backed that message was a cross. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Now, as I will show you very soon, there is a fundamental need because of the departures and the fall of man. You know, when man fell, it is not only man that fell, according as the scripture has revealed, Sir Kings. It's not only man that fell, even creation fell with man. What's the fruit you like the most? You like apple. Huh? Which one do you like? I know they hear you if it's on the pitch now. Which one do you like? Orange. Ah. You are a true Benue man. So he said orange. Whatever orange you have eaten, it is in deplorable state. Even if it is the apple of South Africa, it is in deplorable state compared with the original thing that God created. There was a downgrade, and there are two reasons why there is downgrade. I'm going further than I should, but for the purpose of clarity. There are two purposes. There are two reasons why God downgraded everything. Do you know there is a latent power in your soul? This is revealed, not just you. This God took time to reveal to us the reason why he chose the path that he chose. Even though he did not clearly state it in the scripture, but there are a few descriptions. Things happen to show us sign. For example, you have heard of the Tower of Babel. Am I correct?
Yes,
these are the things that is possible to the man that has been alienated from God, but yielded to the power of his soul. The things man can be able to create. I went for a program one day. Hey! It was me and Anthony. They carried us in this May back. I don't know how recent that one is. If you do like this, if you smell the leather, my brother, if you oh Jesus. A brother sang a song and said, "No glory in this world." I think we need clarity. Yeah, I understand that there is no glory in this world, but that car has a bubble. Jesus Christ. When we entered, Anthony sat like this. I sat like this. I told Anthony, "Mind yourself, don't spoil anything." So we just sat like this. Because before I enter anything, I normally check myself. I say, if I spoil something, can I pay for it? I don't know if I can. Everything there, even if you scratch the paint, you can't paint it in that workshop there. Many of the things that is in it, you have to import it direct or even send it back. Wait for me. 10 more minutes. Go and find your Bible. Are you with me? So, I told myself, let me mind myself inside this place. Miss this. May back. If he does gallop, you know gallop? No. Just does. My God. No wonder politicians, they don't know what we are passing through. There is no gallop in many of their cars. I'm telling you, even if they pass the road you are passing, there is no gallop. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So the life that you receive first passed through the cross was tested. So there is a fundamental need to distinguish. Okay, yeah, I was now talking about distinguishing. I was saying that now, what man can create, that AMG, this is what man sat down and created. Yet, as powerful as it is downgraded. The possibility of man has not been tapped yet. And I dare say it will not even be possible in this age. The environment of the earth does not support it. You see, your potentials need an environment to blossom. So beyond the potentials that you have been given. You know, we played a match on Saturday. And my team won. Now, part of the reason my team won is I was asking a brother, why didn't you? He said it's because of the people he's playing with. I did not say any other thing because I know he's, well, there is a truth in it. It means that no matter how powerful you are, even if you are Ronaldo or Messi, your team will affect your success. Am I correct? And so that is the same thing with man. There are things that man have originally have potentials to achieve. Now this is the challenge. Two things. Number one, because man fell, he became subservient to Satan. It means that Satan is now the lord of man. Now, it is very needful now for two things to happen. One, for God to intentionally downgrade creation. Are you getting the point? So imagine man that is under the government of Satan, taking advantage of the full potential of this ground. Now not working for the purpose for which God created him, but now under the government of who? Satan. So God have to downgrade the quality of many things, so that even if man try to achieve it, he will stumble on vanity. Are you getting the point now? So it was downgraded. And the book of Romans chapter 8 said that the person that did it intentionally, in hope. You remember now, Romans chapter 8. He said he did it in hope that there is a day that sons will arise. And based on the rising and manifestation, the apocalypses of sons, we can enter into an age of constitution and restoration. Releasing again the potentials that God held up in those things. And this is it. It now means that there are things God cannot with man achieve in this kind of world now that is broken. So he has, according to the scripture, we saw that part of the promise and reward of people that follow Jesus to the end is that they will partake of the new heaven and the what? That's not where I'm going. But I'm just trying to tell you that there is a surrounding, there is an environment of the work of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So this is the first. The second one is that we notice that it is not possible again for man to achieve the purpose of God. Are you seeing it now? Creation is tied to man, and it's no more possible for man to achieve the purpose of God. So God intentionally allow things to be put on pause. It's like pause, waiting for when it will be possible for that to happen again. So when was that? So that's where we are going now. There are a few scriptures that I will try to show you, but I wrote something here, and I believe that that would be the departures that man and creation have suffered in death by disobedience and sin was rectified by the cross in its ultimate ability to draw and gather. Now, I will try and explain. This is what is happening. You know, I've taught you people on the centrality of the cross, the ultimacy of the power that is in the cross. I'm still coming about the crucified life. Is in this. Is in the fact that it does not just gather men to God. It also gathered the universe to God. I'm still coming. Are you with me now? And I'm going to show you. So there are two, instantly by this my statement, there are two views to our matter. First of all, we view the labors of the cross and the crucified life from the eternal purpose of God. Number two, we view it as it pertains to us as humans and individual believers. Are you getting the point? Now, the reason why we have to go this broad is because majority of the teachings on the crucified life does not attach a purpose to it. And because there is no purpose, of course, every purpose that originates from God is eternal. Because there is no purpose to it, many people does not see the need for them to live a crucified life. So if the cross now demands on a man to drop whiskey and Davido, you know, many churches now mix everything. Are you getting the point? They don't understand what it means that Paul said that by his cross the world is crucified to me and I to the world. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why? It is because of a few things that I'm about to show you now. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So, the cross, therefore, is a universal unification implement. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 20 to 22, and we're going to get there, but I've not started, but that is the quotation that we support this. The cross does not just take us back to God. The cross is also the means through which God gathered every other thing to himself. If you are with me so far, say amen. In fact, the scripture said there in the book of Colossians, it said that I say of things where on earth and in heaven, everything. Now, this is why I'm saying this. It is therefore important to God, first of all, there is a departure and there is a depravity. Every single thing and every single life that is upon the face of the earth has suffered a departure, a downgrade, a depravity. Are you getting what I'm saying now?
Yes, sir.
So here appears the cross. When the cross appeared, as the last teacher said, the cross is not, first of all, a negative thing. The cross did not just lay Jesus to save us. The cross also proved. Are you with me? There are several things the cross did that is fundamental. Yeah, it is on the cross that the blood of Jesus was shed to save you. But beyond that, the cross also proved that the life that Jesus carried, you know, Jesus made a lot of claims. Are you with me? He made a lot of claims, and some people said that he was not the first to make that claim. That just like others, that if his claims are not true, all you need to do to someone to prove that his claims are not true is to take him to the cross. The cross will reduce that person to his reality. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are not there yet, but God will help us to get there. Now, this is what it means. It means that, let's move away from that. Let's assume we are two men of God. Stand up. This is Moses. Bro! So, this is Moses and this is me. So, Moses said, okay, how do you do it now? Let me remove myself. Who is another person from Lagos? Tony, leave that thing you are doing. Come, let me use you for example. Stand closer to the... Stand, you stand. Can you see these two guys? This one is making a claim that, you know those guys, Korah and others? You know them? You are their leader. Because your name is already Moses. Are you getting the point? So Moses and the other... Oga, you're not a man, stand. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
So these two people are making claims. And you don't have right to say that any of their claim is wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't have any right to say it. So what God did is to put their claims of authority, subjected it to the cross. I know you don't know that rod. I know you don't know what it means for a rod to board, but let's not go there too deep. Are you getting what I'm saying? If a rod boarded, just know that the cross walked somewhere, because that is resurrection. The rod is already dry. So they took the two of them, put it inside. The claims that you are making, if it is true, that this person's claim is true, or that his own is true, the only way to know is that the life that they carried will survive the cross. Are you getting it now? In certain instances, it might not totally mean that all your claims are wrong. So this man can be claiming 70 over 100. This man can be claiming 80 over 100. You know the way we know the weight in the spirit. Are you following me now? We take the two of them to the cross. By the time you take two people to the cross, you will see all manner of things you did not bargain for. So watch. Are you following where we are going now? So it is not only in the fact that it takes the cross to check which of them is in actual possession of reality. The cross also measures the amount of reality. Remember I said this one claims that is 80. Am I correct? And this claims that is how many? You are correct. So how do we know? And I told you that you don't have the right to disprove the claim of a person without a competent test. So the competent test that is set universally is the test of what? You are with me. So we subjected the two of them to the test of the cross. We found out that, remember he said 80. It is not only that he is 80 now. You know, this kind of 80 can be by human rating. Are you getting the point? Several things can make you look like this. And all the things we can generate. Then this one is 70. So we now say, this man is bigger than this man. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we now subjected them to test. We now found out it is... Now, this one now dropped to 5. Are you getting what I'm saying? We subjected it to test. This one now moved from 70 to 80. You are not getting what I'm saying. I mean, you can even go to the cross and find out that you held more with God than you even anticipated. How many of you have noticed that happened one or two times in your life? Something happened and you didn't even know you already have this kind of ability in God. How many of you? It has happened. It now shocked you. And then in some cases, you have also seen people that you think that they have it, only for them not to have it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, now... something is striking here. It means that the cross revealed this man's true worth in essence and reality. Which is how many percent? That the cross also appraised your matter and found out that the way you are rating yourself is also less than it should. Though good, but higher. And it gave you what? So that was what happened to the two rods. Took the two of them inside. By the time they were bringing it out, wham! Has budded. Sometimes one has budded. Did you get this one now? That means that the cross is the universal implement with which we judge the authenticity and the measure of essence and reality. So if any man make from that time, any man that has ever made a claim in this universe since the time that God began to create, what happens is that that man is put to test. And it so happened. Are you with me now? It so happened that Jesus is the only one that survived the test of the cross. Are you getting it? Watch, Ruach. He said that I am the resurrection and life. They said you just made a claim. I'm just saying it like that for you to pick it. See, how do we prove this claim? Even heaven is interested in proving that their claim in Jesus. You know, you can have your... Jesus made a claim, but his claim, heaven's claim is in his claim. Because even though he was making a claim, it was heaven that was making that claim in him and through him. Am I correct? So, heaven also want to prove that their life can pass through the cross, survive death, and come back. Can you get this now?
Yes, sir.
Remember, Jesus have already said, I'm the resurrection and life. But he went to the cross. And I told you people that there are several reasons that already we know the purpose of the cross in that it is on the cross that Jesus paid the price. You know that one. Paid the price by his blood and all that. That's not the only thing.
there is still a universal level. We want to test the life of Jesus and know whether it is the kind of life that has the ability to execute what we want. And if it is true that it is the kind of life that have the exact reality and essence that is required to carry out the purposes of God, then it must retain the ability to survive the cross. So when Jesus was subjected to the cross, he was actually reduced to his reality. It means that everything that remained after Jesus went to the cross is exactly what he is. Every other thing that he was before he went to the cross is irrelevant. All those are just accessories. Huh? Have you used phone before? Let me see your phone. Who is with her phone? I prefer a lady. You are with your phone. I want to give an example. Show me now. Where are the sisters? Show me here. You see, this phone is without a pack. Let me see your own. You see this phone pack here? It is called an accessory. Am I correct? It means that when all chips are down, it is not that important. You can put it aside. Am I correct? But it's not as if it's not serving for something now. But when all chips are down, when you go to the cross, you drop this package. So all the packagings that allowed for the fulfillment of anything upon the face of the earth, when he went to the cross, all of them were what? Dropped. Huh? Between reality and packaging, where will you rate a car? Where will you rate a car? So this man said reality. See why we need this teaching. Between reality and packaging, car is a complete packaging, vanity. When he gets to the cross, he can't even pass. In fact, the place is so narrow. It's so narrow that Jesus said that only... Pastor Josh, you have seen why this teaching is important. Because people say that car is reality. Car is reality. Where? A rich man died, they packed his car, packed his money. Is that man aware? You don't even need to die, you just need to be sick. Not so sick, not sick, like simple malaria. And you used to bother me those days. Mothers, we used to ask you people, why you people normally do it? Like, if somebody is not sick, there will be no milk, there will be no malt, there will be no... Are you getting what I'm saying? But once you are sick, they will just be cooking all kinds of delicacies. And you'll be looking at it, you don't feel like eating. The day you wake up and mistakenly eat it twice, they will stop. That thing is not good. Nah, I'm okay now. I want to eat now. They will not give you. You remember that thing? When you are sick, your mother, anything that is eatable will be prepared. All kinds of things. Will you eat? The day you now start eating, eat 3 times a day. Tomorrow she will wake up and go to work. She will know that the job has been done. You will go back to managing yourself. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Once you are sick, you will find out that even food, myself, you know, fish shop. Those things can't survive the cross. What of your beauty? Let's say you are handsome, the way you are handsome now. Will you survive the cross? The cross doesn't know how handsome you are or how beautiful you are. I'm getting to my teaching. Once you see a generation of people that emphasize a lot on their look, they have not gone to the cross. They have not gone to the cross. Very weak generation. Satan will be tossing them like this. This is the way Satan will be tossing them. After some time, they will not know which is which. So we can gather like that, like 100,000, and we say 100,000 men. Only 100 know the way of the cross. That's if it's up to that amount. So we'll be boasting in our number. Meanwhile, according to heaven's rating, you go to the cross, then survive. Many have not gone yet. In fact, some know the way of the cross and rejected it and took the broad way. Meanwhile, the Bible said that broad and wide is the way that leads to what? But there is a narrow way. Narrow and straight is the one that leads to what? Life. My brothers, you can be seated. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So it means that the first thing that the cross does is to test the nature and quality of what we want to use to do our work. Are you getting it now? If we said that it is the life of God in Christ that is the means through which we achieve the purposes, let's know whether it will survive the cross. Let's know whether it can resurrect. If that life cannot survive the cross and cannot resurrect, then the claims that it is making to be the means through which God will achieve his purposes is already null and void. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the same way, all your claims in the kingdom has to be tested by the cross. So it is not just the fact that you are suffering. It's not suffering. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me try again the second time. I said that the life Jesus gave you was a crucified life. Not just in the sense that Jesus died to save you by shedding his blood, but it was a full-scale attempt to test the nature, the power, the reality and essence within that life. Are you getting the point? God allows us, the same way the life that Jesus carried, that you received, was tested. By what? By what? That same life, when you receive it, it will still be tested by what? So that it can reveal what it actually is. If it was true in Christ, it should be true in you. Am I correct? That's the point. That's the point. Don't forget this point. I know the other point, save you and all that, shed your blood, shed his blood and all that. But you need to see bigger than that. So all this, I said secondarily, that all the departures that was suffered was rectified by the cross. Let me tell you why. The cross is, as you already know, is the great divide. The greatest distance in the whole universe is one side of the cross to the other. Now, in one sense, it is in you getting born again and you not being born again. The greatest distance is... Do you know the greatest distance? If two people are sitting like this, one is born again, one is not born again, that's the greatest distance you ever know between any two people. Are you getting the point? Now, if you are born again and somebody is in US, probably following us now, There is a sister, a brother that keeps following us from the U.S. and all the time she'll be saying from Maryland branch. If you are following us now, I salute you. Now, this is my point. As far as that sister is, when I saw them, they were praying. One of the sisters said that she has to fly from her state to that. To Maryland, 7 hours flight. I know you don't know. Some of you don't know what it means to fly for 7 hours. Jesus. All things being equal. If you fly direct from here to Zambia, it will be 7 hours. Or just a little bit higher than 7 hours. Direct, even though you can't get direct. That means the sister went from Nigeria to Zambia to go and pray. I was asking her. She said that the flight ticket is enough to get her to Abuja. How can people spend that much and people are not? I don't understand. Oh man, you are inexcusable. Anyway, that's, by the way. So that sister that is in Maryland, U.S., are you getting the point? That is born again. One of them might be following there. That sister considers this my sister here as her sister. They are closer. Are you getting what I'm saying? You and that sister is closer than somebody that is sitting here that is not born again. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? So what the greatest distance and also the shortest, it is the distance, the cross is the distance between what is of God and what is not of God. And it is very far. And it cannot be crossed. In the same way, the cross at the same time is also the bridge. Are you seeing it now? So why is the cross serves as a distinction between what is of God and what is not of God? It also serves as a bridge to bring things that is outside into God. Can you understand it now? So the cross is where we crossed over and entered into God. But it is not just that. My point is this. Beyond the believer's salvation, beyond the redemptive, beyond the subjective redemptive work of the cross, there is a universal redemptive work. There is a cosmic redemption. And there is no possibility of achieving, there is no possibility of achieving cosmic redemption outside of the cross. It means that the cross did not just stand at Golgotha. This cross stood in the universe. It means that the cross is, let me come back because it seems as if I know. Now, it is at the cross that Jesus died and saved you. Am I correct? It is also at that cross that he died to save the world. I know when you hear that save the world, you think it's just the people. No, save the world is to save the world. But I will not go there too deep. Huh? I will not go there. I will not go there. I will not go there. Hi. There is what we, there is a salvation I taught you people in the book of Romans chapter 8 that is called apolutrosis. I taught it in the centralities. If you can remember, who remembers? Even if you cannot defend it, but at least say I remember so that I will not look like I've not taught anything. You remember. Say I will not ask you a question. I promise. I promise. You remember? Jesus Christ. Yeah. You remember, wave your hand. Don't wave it big, just do it small. I will not ask you. I promise I won't ask you a question. Hey, India. Amen. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, since you people are not there, let me leave that part. I will not teach it. So this is what I'm trying to say now. So the cross stood not just to reconcile men to God, but to reconcile all things to God. Show me Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Are you getting it now? The cross stood not just to reconcile men to God, but to reconcile all things. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile what? To reconcile what? Okay, let me allow you to write. You have 10 more seconds. Meanwhile, today is my wife's birthday. I might forget. Let's say happy birthday to her. Happy birthday. So, back to our teaching. Focus, focus, focus. The way you are smiling, you are refused to focus. If I catch it, focus. Share balloon, focus. You are sleeping, focus. Jide onwegi jide. Let's read this Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 together. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's read it again.
And how he made peace through the blood of his cross.
Uh-huh.
By him to reconcile all things unto himself.
Are you seeing something here, Joshua? Let's read it one more time. It will sink in now. One, two, ready, go.
Lord of the cross.
All things.
By him, I say.
Very clear. It explains himself. He said, and having made peace through what? Not just the blood. Now. You need to know how to study the scripture. The emphasis here is not necessarily the blood. The emphasis is the cross. Because he could have just said, and having made peace through the blood, of which the scripture in other places just stopped that way. Are you getting what I'm saying now? But it is needful that his cross be mentioned so that it will be reemphasized, the instrument through which God actually achieved reconciliation. Now, the second thing you notice from this scripture is that the ministry of reconciliation is directed to two sets, two targets. Are you getting the point? That there is a reconciliation that involves us, but there is a reconciliation that involves what? Say after me, all things.
All things.
So whether it is the reconciliation of men or the reconciliation of all things, it is by that instrument of what? You are with me now. Oh! You are what? At least I can proceed now. So let me make another point. Since the eternal building materials of God is Christ, and in Christ, you can write. Since the eternal building materials of God is Christ, and in Christ, the cross serves perpetually as the differentiating and distinguishing instrument. The cross serves perpetually as the differentiating and distinguishing instrument for things which are Christ's, that is Christ's. For the things which are Christ and those that are other. What I mean by other is O-T-H-E-R. Like what I mean, the things that are Christ and the things that are not Christ. There's another way to present it in English language. Actually, that's the best way. The things that are Christ and the things that are other. Or you said that, and the things that are not Christ. Are you getting the point? So the cross serves as a distinguishing and differentiating instrument between those things that are Christ and those things that are not. Are you getting the point? If it cannot survive the cross, then it did not originate from God. If it cannot survive the cross, then it did not what? Originate from God. So can we rephrase what I just said? Can we go through it? Can we? Let's start from the beginning. One, two, ready, go. Start. Good. Then it is not correct. That's a good one. That's very good, very important. Let's just analyze it a little. So it is straightforward. You can see it. Am I correct? Now, if you have sat under us and if you have studied the scripture, you will find out that, first of all, so after me, God has a purpose. Because God has a purpose, he gave me a purpose. I think we need to say it again. Say after me. God has a purpose. Because he has a purpose,
he gave me a purpose.
The purpose of God is called the eternal purposes. You can say it. The purpose of God is called the eternal purposes. My purpose is the part I play in the eternal purpose. You can write it. The purposes of God are called the eternal purposes. So this is the point here. God's purposes are eternal.
And therefore, they are eternal. And they are not my words. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. Okay, this one is good too. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. But I just want to read 3:11, so that you can see the word just as it's clearly spelled out there. Let's read together. 1, 2, ready, go. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus. What? So the scripture is saying, according to the eternal purpose, that is purpose. So obviously you can see that God eternally purposed. Now, it means that it has been long he planned it, even before we came. It also means that the nature of that purpose is beyond time. So the ones that can be achieved in your 70 years on earth, when you are through, it continues. Are you getting what I'm saying? So now, the part that God allotted to you to play in that eternal purpose is now what you now call your what? Your own purpose. So when we say, have you discovered your purpose? That's what we are asking you for. You know, I feel like writing. My purpose is to write. When you get to heaven, they will ask, who gave you that pen? I'm telling you. Sister, look at me. Nobody, you say you want to be pilot that time. How many things do you want to be? Pilot, list them.
Medical doctor, lecturer, business person.
Continue so that others will learn.
Writer, newscast, everything.
And the corner. Babalatile. Frequency carry me, you know, come walk, carry see me, chala bieba. You see it? Your purpose is not what you feel like doing. It's not even what you can do. It's very important you know this as a believer. And that is why it is very hard for a man to actually discover his purpose before he has met Christ. For two major reasons. Number one is that even if what you are doing is good, the authority of God has not come on it. And because of that, it cannot do anything for God. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not bad, but it is not doing anything for God. And because it is not doing anything for God, it is not counted as something that is achieving a purpose in what? God. But when you are born again, it is the standpoint from whence God can exert his authority. The authority of... When you go born again, what do you say? I welcome you into my life as what?
As my Lord.
As what?
My Lord.
As what?
My Lord and personal Savior.
So, how many of you only welcomed him as your Savior? It's possible. Even our lifestyle reveals that we only welcomed him as Savior. But Jesus is our Lord and what? Savior. Who is a Lord? Who is a Lord? He's beyond master as per the master of today. The only way you can get it well is if you translate it to Igbo language. You know what is Lord? Onye Nwem, like. Onye Nwem, this one owns me. It's not serve. Are you getting the point? You can serve and go. You can serve. But when you say Onye Nwem, person owns you. Like owns him total. That's how Sarah married Abraham. How did I enter here? You know, somebody, I forgot who taught us here. He said, who taught us? I think it's Chuka that taught us.
and said that that covenant, that it was Abraham and Sarah, that you can't find only one man, that there is also a Sarah.
That is Onyewem. Any other kind of Sarah can participate. I won't marry. Obasam.
This kind of thing, if you teach it, you leave it. The people that want to pick it, the good thing about the New Testament is that you can decide to pick at your level. And God will not totally reject you. Unlike the old. The old is that it's either you are there or you are not there. But in the new covenant, you can be approximating according to your revelation. Are you getting what I'm saying? But if you want to cut covenant at that level, you need to know the consecration and the price of that level.
Say, Lord, I want to be a mother in Israel. I want to be a mother.
What she meant by I want to be a mother is I want to be a Gadabwa Chiroso.
So let me leave that part.
So your when you get born again, Jesus becomes your owner. Say after me, your owner. So when a man is your owner, he can decide to do anything with you. So if you have talent of football, are you getting the point? When you get born again, he can decide to use it or not to use it. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Now, somebody is saying, I'm saying that if I can play football, I can sing. If I get born again, you abandon it. Not necessarily. But when somebody is your owner, he can choose to continue to... Are you getting what I'm saying? After all, that is a natural talent. Natural means that you did not do anything. You just found yourself being able to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even if you go to school and have a doctorate degree, are you getting what I'm saying? God can decide to use that doctorate degree as a means of achieving his purpose. Do you know that sometimes he can abandon it? Completely. He won't tell you to come out of that place. So the lordship of Christ exerted upon your life in lieu of the achievement and execution of his purposes, for you, is abandoning a path that you have already had you are accomplished on that path. And then he will turn your face to another path. For another person, it might mean that God will continue with the same thing. There are people that sang in the world, got born again and kept singing, and that's what God ordained. Are you getting the point? There are a few, you know them, they are popular. There are others that got born again, they were singing and continue singing. God didn't want to continue singing. That one does not, it is either a mistake or has not been taught what the lordship of Christ is. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It is because of lordship that the purposes of God can prosper. The person that, are you getting what I'm saying? The person that God cannot exert his lordship over cannot be usable in the hand of God. He can't drive you to where he wants to drive you. What can God get you to do? Huh? Anything. That my brother said anything. You have to be careful what you answer. Because sometimes when we say anything, we just casually checked our life. I'm telling you, I made that mistake. It's not it's bad, but good. I would say it's painful, but good. Take all of me. All of me, Lord. You are my everything. When God touched me, I said, Baba, take it easy. I'm not lying to you. I beg God that I surrender, but I'm surrendering small, make I not die. I told God clear. I told him, the way you are dealing with me now, if tomorrow I die, now you cause I'm off. Just, okay, so this is what I'm going to suffer. He said, yes, so. Be releasing a small, I beg. Make person not die fast. Because the dosage, you getting the point? There is a dosage you can be given. You might die. But meanwhile, it's your prayer that drew that dosage. I hope you know. there is a prayer and there is a cry and there is a request that can bring a dosage that will almost shatter your life. Meanwhile, you are the one. God wanted to take it easy, but you are, the way you are praying this period, the way you are pushing heaven, you are telling God, use me or I die. God. Oh God. Some of you prayed this prayer recently. Why am I useless in this life? Why is my life like this? It's either you use me as useful in this life to shake nations or kill me. I'm telling you now, you prayed it. Or kill me. 2 days after, your phone fell and broke screen. You have been trying to borrow money. You have been calling everybody you know to repair the screen. You are not so, let me, you are not picking. Phone only. You are running helter-skelter. You have even called the boyfriend you left before. Just phone.
Come sit down. Say, I will die for you.
Die for who? You can't die for phone. You are dying for my friend.
You love yourself.
So God brings us into the center of his purpose through the cross. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, number two, God gathers or God filters things. I said that since God is building something eternally, there is God is working. And he decided, have you seen where they are building before? We decided that what God is now building, said he decided that what is going to build with, like the way we have cement and block, that his own building material is Christ. Now, all those materials that is in Christ that God uses to build, we need to differentiate and distinguish. Are you getting what I'm saying? We can do 10 hours worship, and if the cross passes through it, it can reduce it to 30 minutes. Are you getting where I'm going now? It means that the quality of building material, God can never build that congregation more than 30 minutes. Then you now have an apostolic calling and you sit there and insist that that's where you will sit. And then after some time, you even take the title apostle. I pity your life. You think God, some people think that God is emotional. God is not emotional. There are places, they can make you. For others, they can survive. Give me believers. You have a heavy calling. You stayed where the cross has not passed through. You look around. Strike for me. You look around the labors that is around there. There are few things that has gone to the cross. It's just, people are just gyrating everywhere. They are just celebrating, gyrating. Meanwhile, you carry a destiny that is intercontinental. And you sit down with them. Ego. Roaming around with chickens. I will build my church and the gate of hell cannot prevail against it. But there is something he said. He said, on this rock. What is that rock? The revelation of Christ. It is the cross. When Jesus was making that statement, he was preparing to go to the cross. After that moment, he made a statement. He said that except a corn of wheat, what? Falls to the ground. And what? Dies. That is how it is in that death that we recover the building materials of the kingdom. The materials with which we build in this kingdom has been lost in ages past. When Adam fell, the materials was lost. We search for it. Moses lived for 120 years in search of materials to build. And the book of Hebrews said that if the old covenant was able to make men perfect, then there is no need for the new. And perfection in that context is men approximating in sonship, getting to the place of the fullness of Christ captured in them. So the scripture said, if that one that Moses had have the ability to bring men to perfection and sonship. There is no need for the new. God tarried for hundreds of years, for long, and found out that the materials with which he can build the things that he desires in his heart has been scattered and lost. So he took the cross and stamped it and said, the first man that will climb here and come down carrying his essence is the man we are building with. Jesus climbed. Apaliakopa. He said, if I be lifted. I will draw. No man is lost. No hope is lost. Nothing is lost. The building materials of God scattered everywhere in the universe. Have you read the book of Ephesians chapter 4? The scripture said that before he ascended, the same one that ascended to the up, first of all, what descended, and he was able to obtain gift even for the rebellious. You are not getting the point. Are you following now? It means that the gifts of God are scattered in rebellious dimensions. Cities that yielded themselves to rebellion are hosting the things that God would have needed to build. The gifts of God that is in men, we are scattered in cities of rebellion. He took the man that went down by the cross to recover the rebellious gifts of God that we require, that will be needed to build. He said that one, he went there and obtained that gift. Then he ascended high and filled all things. From there, he gave gifts and some apostles and prophets. Are you seeing it now? The building materials of God scattered everywhere. Scripture speaking, he said that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. These are the language you don't use before the cross. Are you getting it now? That means that the cross went on the job of reconciliation and recovery. The cross did not just recover us. It recovered the materials of God's labors. The materials of God's building. Just imagine without the cross, you can't have men like Paul rise. You know what Paul said? That before I entered my mother's womb, my God called me and separated me. This reality was never seen. And will never have been seen. If it is not that Jesus went to the cross. He said, if I am lifted, I have the ability to drop Paul. I believe that there is an apostle that is in the mosque now. I believe it. Are you seeing it now? That's a building material for the end time we have not recovered yet. Let Jesus go everywhere in the world. As we grow, find men. Are you seeing it? Listen. The cross does not just recover you to be born again. It recovers your identity and potentials. There is a power given to your ordination. That is why Satan can use people. Satan cannot create anything, my brother. Anything a man had, God gave him. That's what the scripture said. So if Satan used it, it means that God kept it there. But it takes the cross to recover even what God planted in us. Are you seeing it now? Gifts, talents, abilities, the things to build that is trapped in you, it takes the cross to recover it. And there are many of them on the street. The first level of recovery is the one you now get born again. But what of your apostolic anointing? What of your apostolic calling? What of your prophetic grace? God wants to make you a seer like Elisha. Elisha's and the discussion in the tabernacle of the king is revealed to him. The chambers of his bed becomes like a mirror, a television for Elisha. Elisha, Elisha. Where be the Elishas? We cry that God will hear our voice and go into the lands and territories of the earth by our prayer and groans. May he recover his building materials. These building materials are immense. Let souls arise and become pillars of God one more time in the last days to recover his labors in the earth. I cry. Hear me. Hear me, O God.
Don't hear me and be silent. Listen to me. Shadrach, the scripture said, except a corn of wheat goes down to the cross and dies. That means it took me time to find out, Chidema, there is an authority to execute a calling that cannot come outside the place of the cross and death. You die to carry it. And I'm not saying a preaching. I'm saying a pain, a scar, wounds that will be there perpetually and fresh. Sometimes he revealed in the spirit, you look at it looks as if it has healed. It also looks as if it's alive. A brother met me recently. He said that the wife is an intercessor. He's probably listening to us. That's what made him to start following us. He said that one day the wife was praying and God revealed me to her and said, this man, follow him as an intercessor. Follow him! Suddenly he looked at me and saw my back full of scars and wound. But you know, if you look at my back, look at my face, he's not looking handsome. Don't trouble me. Don't trouble me. I bear in my body. Max. Authority is not cheap, brothers and sisters. You have to pay for it. People can easily look at it and say, hey, this thing, is it not cheap? What you can do, I can do it. Or you try now. Get five people to pray, to start to have a consistent prayer life. That's when you know that what powers a prayer life is a life that survived death. That before we got to the place we are, we survived the death that invaded us in our prayer room. For years, we survived the death. You don't know that death. Many times he came to steal your prayer life. Came upon your altar. You did not sin, you didn't do anything. You just felt like backsliding. It has not happened to you. You woke up one day, you just felt like giving up. You felt like going down. Even though you didn't give down, you just feel like taking it easy. That's the death all of us survive. Oh, you think I just came here? I survived that death for more than a decade. I survived that death for 15 years. And I came and told you that God told me, oh yeah, pray now. It was an utterance that came from death that now became a point of authority. So when I look at a man, I say, sort as I have. Brothers and sisters, I have it with God. Except a corn of wheat falls and dies, except you go to the cross, you can have the same potentials, the same calling. You'll be looking at it, it can't wake up. Because it's when we go to the cross, then the fruitfulness that is locked up, it's only released at that place. Are you seeing it? Jesus can save, can give life, can do all things, but the cross has not jammed it. So he was the man of Galilee. There is so much good he did for us as the man of Galilee. But the real greater works is from the point of resurrection.
and if the nations for you, so my life, so my life. And if the nations for you, so my life, so my life. And if the nations for you, so my life, so my life. And if the nations for you, so my life, so my life. And if the nations for you, so my life, so my life. And if the nations for you, so my life, so my love. Jesus. And if the nations for you, so my love, so my love. I see some music ministers that is here listening to me. There is a dove, there is a word that will minister to men. They will drink of it, but there is a death. There is a death before that glory. Are you willing to die? So my love, and if the nations for you, so my love, so my love. And if the nations for you, so my love, so my love. I will give you my night for 21 days. So my love, so my love. I see mighty destinies emerging in this season. The cross is about to reveal the greatness that you carry. So my life, and if the nations for you, so my life, so my life. So my love, and if the nations for you, so my life, so my love. If you will pray this prayer and ask God whatever it takes, take me to the cross and release my potential. Take me to the cross and release the authority, the potential, the anointing. It might be hard, but that's how strong men and giants, generals, there are men that survived death and came back stronger than anything Satan can throw at them. Spend my time, spend my days, oh.
my life. Spend my life. And reap the nations for you. Spend my life. Spend my life. I reap the nations for you. You don't need to be a bad person to die. You just need to be desirous of fruitfulness in the hand of God. Once you desire fruitfulness,
spend my days, spend my youth. Redonation for you. Spend my time, spend my age. Redonation for you. Will you spend my life? Spend my day.
Came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant Apostle Edu Udechukwu, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040. or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhopinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edu Dechukwu. God bless you.